Okay, I've shared with you a practice that I have of spending time with the Lord and going through the alphabet, thinking about who He is. And here, a while back, as I was doing that, the word came to my mind, keeper. God is our keeper. And Psalm 121, verses 4 through 6, really came to my attention. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. And so I started thinking about all of that, and I felt like the Lord wanted me to share this message. Our theme is making God's name great. And one of the things that we need to know if we're going to make His name great, we need to know who He is. If we, you know, we can go out there and start making a lot of noise about something, and if it's not reality, it's worthless. And so we got to make sure, and that's one of the reasons why I've been sharing with you over the last while these things about Jehovah, our God, who He is. And probably the next message I share will relate to this as well. But God is our keeper. Howard, you're a mechanic. What's a keeper? Okay, it's something that holds something in place. Right? Steve, you're a fisherman. What's a keeper? It's a good fish. It's one that meets the requirements, right? So we've got this concept of keeper as a security and one that meets the requirements, okay? So we want to keep that in mind as we think about God. And so we want to ask ourselves some questions here. So we've asked this, what is a keeper? Once we're saved, whose job is it to keep us saved? Huh? I heard something, but I didn't hear what you said.
Our job,
okay. God's job. Okay, let's look at this psalm, because this is something I think is important for us. How well are we able to keep ourselves from anything? Sherry and I are going to be traveling. Are we able to keep ourselves from a jet crashing? Wrong answer. And you're staying home. How well are you able to keep yourself from an automobile crash? Okay, so how well are we able to keep ourselves from anything? I want you to think about that a little bit. Because I think that relates to God being our keeper. I want us to be thinking about some of these things. In what are we able to trust God to keep us? Is there only certain things that God is able to keep us in? Or can we trust Him to keep us in all things? I think we do well to ask ourselves these questions. And I've got a number of scriptures this morning. We're going to try to hurry and get through most of this. We're not going to spend a lot of time on each one. But these are just a small portion. I challenge you to spend some time looking and thinking about what God says to us through His Word about His keeping. God's presence is our keeping source in all places. This is God speaking to Jacob, Genesis 28:15. Behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places wherever you go. And I'll bring you again to this land. I won't leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Now, wait a minute. I'm thinking about who Jacob was. Jacob was a deceiver. He was a messed up guy. He had just tricked his brother and he was running. And God says, I'm going to be with you and I'm going to keep you. How's that work? All right? God is able to complete His purposes. This is God talking to Moses and to the children of Israel. Behold, I send an angel before thee. And that word angel there, you notice, is capitalized. So it's speaking about Christ, Bible scholars would say, to keep thee in the way and to bring you to the place that I promised to you and I told you of. So he's saying, okay, here I am. I am going to keep you in the way. And you look at all the children of Israel went through on their journey. Who kept them? Did they keep themselves or did God keep them? God kept them, right? Just like He said He would. God keeps mercy. And Lord willing, Exodus chapter 34, verses 5 through 7, is what I'm planning to speak on the next time I preach there in March, I believe. You may want to look at those verses, because they're some powerful, powerful verses. And here's what God says in one of those. Keeping mercy. God keeps mercy for thousands. God is one who keeps mercy. And it's interesting to me, as we look through the Scriptures, mercy, God's mercy is a huge, huge subject. This is a blessing that God gave for His people. And this is what He said. This is how you're to bless My people. Numbers chapter 6, 24 to 26. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. Keep you how? Keep you from what? Keep you in what? Keep you through what? Keep you for what? The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. Larry and Esther, the Lord bless you and keep you as you travel to Mexico. That gives us a real sense of security, doesn't it? Of confidence. The Lord is going to bless and keep. That's important for us. God must keep us. Our strength won't cut it. Pay attention here. 1 Samuel 2:9. He will keep the feet of His saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. We are not able to keep ourselves. We're not strong enough unless the Lord keeps us. We'll look at that some more. But God has to be the one who keeps us, and He will. He will keep the feet of His saints. And then you can look at these verses. These verses are so interesting to me because they say the same thing. And you've got Moses, you've got David, you've got Nehemiah, you've got Ezra and Daniel, all picking up on this same thing. The Lord keeps covenant and mercy. The Lord keeps covenant and mercy. The Lord keeps covenant and mercy. Every one of these verses say that exact same thing. God is a God of covenant, and God is a God of mercy, and He keeps those. He's jealous over those. They're His. They belong to Him, and so He's keeping those. Has there been another flood on the earth that covered the whole earth? No. Why? Because there's a covenant there that God is keeping. has nothing to do with us. There are some covenants that have some things to do with us. That covenant has nothing to do with us. God says, I'm making this covenant with the whole earth. I will never flood the earth again, entirely flood the earth. And every time we see a rainbow, it's a reminder of that promise. God keeps covenant and mercy. God keeps His promises. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 25. This is Solomon praying for his father David. Now therefore, O Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David, my father, what you promised him. You promised him there was never going to fail some of his posterity to sit on the throne. Now, God, keep that promise. Has God ever not kept a promise? Will He ever not keep a promise? No. What God promises, He keeps. So God keeps His promises. That's one of the reasons that we can go to the Scripture and we can say, ah, God, you said this. I know it's true because you said it. Keeping is God's job. Psalm 12, verse 7. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. That's your job, God. You're going to keep them. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God, your job is to keep. And that's important for us to remember that that's God's job. And we can trust Him to fulfill His job. Now look at, look how carefully and tenderly He keeps. You know, we're not talking about a jailer keeping prisoners. We're talking about God, Psalm 17, verse 8, keep me, as the apple of your eye. And that could have a couple of meanings. That could mean the very core of our eye, or that can have a symbolic meaning of something of great value. God keeps us as the apple of His eye. We talk about that in relation to Israel, but it's also true for us as His children. He keeps us as the apple of His eye. I want you to think about that. What does that mean? It sounds to me like God is very, very careful and very, very tender about His keeping of us. Would you agree with that? Is that what it sounds like? Does somebody else have something that you're hearing from that you'd like to share? Keep me as the apple of your eye. Only God can keep us from sin. I want us to think about this, because I think this is an important key that we often miss. Pay attention to David. David struggled. And here's one of the things that David prays to God in Psalm 19, verse 13. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Was David praying something to God that he didn't know what he was talking about? No. If you go into Psalm 51, and this is kind of off to the side, but it relates to this. If you go into Psalm 51, what does David ask God to do with his heart? Create in me a clean heart, O God. That word create there is the same word that's used in Genesis 1 for creation. God, you have to create in me a clean heart. It's only as God creates in us a clean heart, it's only as God takes this heart of stone and gives us a heart of flesh, it's only as He writes by His Spirit His laws in our heart that we're able to keep. You and I, and all you have to do is look back at the law and the people that lived under the law. They tried and they tried and they tried to do what was right. And almost no one succeeded. We have the privilege of having God keep us from sin. And it's a privilege that we need to understand and take hold of and put to use in our lives. We do not have, we already looked at, our strength won't cut it. We do not have the will. There is no one here that has the willpower to never sin in their life. It is not possible. It is only as God keeps us, as we place ourselves in His hands and rest in His ability and allow His Spirit to direct our lives and allow His blood to cover our sins. It's only through that that we can be kept from sin. You know what else we do? You know how we make ourselves think that we're keeping ourselves from sin? We make our own checklist. This is sin. I don't do that. Those people do that. I don't do it. Doesn't work. It's not God's checklist. We need God and His power and His presence and His keeping power to keep us from sin. God will keep us securely. I like this verse. Psalm 31, verse 20. Says, you're going to hide them. You're going to put them in this secret place in a pavilion. See what he says? You're going to hide them in the secret of thy presence. You're going to take them right into your presence. And it's going to be a secret place, a pavilion, a protected place where no one can come and get at them. I like that. God can do that. You and I can't do that. We're not able to hide ourselves or make our place secure enough to keep ourselves. Only God can do that. And we need to trust Him for it. This is David. I think that's one of the reasons David is a man after God's own heart. David understands that it's only in God that he can find what he needs. God is the only one who can keep him, and he cries out over and over for that. Keeping is a full-time commitment for God. And I read these verses in the beginning, but I want to point out some things here. I want you to pay attention to the detail of life that he talks about for us. He will not suffer your foot to be moved. What's that mean? What does that mean? If you read through the Psalms, David talks about the snare that was out there waiting for him. He talks about those who tried to make him stumble. He talked about those who were after him to mess with his life. And here he's saying, you know what? God, you won't allow my foot to be moved. Why? Because you don't rest. Your job is to keep me. He that keepeth Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. He's your shade upon your right hand. What's that mean? It means He's right there with you, right? your shade right there. It's constantly providing for you. God is there. He does not slumber or sleep. We talked about Him saying that we're the apple of His eye. And here it is. There is not going to be a moment, not the briefest moment, that God is going to be caught off guard. He doesn't slumber. He doesn't sleep. We're the apple of His eye. He's watching. The Lord that keepeth Israel, the Lord that keeps us, the Lord is your keeper. It's a full-time commitment for God. Without God's keeping, we are doomed. Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes in vain. Unless the Lord is keeping the city, it's not going to happen. So, unless God is keeping, we have no hope. So I want us to get that. I want us to think about that. How important it is that God is our keeper. God also keeps truth. Psalm 146, verse 6. He made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything that's in them, and He keepeth truth forever. What does that tell you? It tells me that truth is not going to be changed. Man is not going to juggle truth or adjust truth or change truth to meet what he wants. God keeps truth. He's holding it. It's secure. It's going to meet his requirements. It's kept by him. God keeps truth. God's keeping is for the glory of his name. Isaiah 42:6. I have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. I've called you. I want you to make my name great, and I'm going to keep you. And the purpose of his keeping of us is so that his name is made great. That's important for us to remember and to keep in our mind. Keeping is God's answer to Jesus' prayer. Pay attention to this, John 17:11. This is when in Jesus' high priestly prayer, he's spending time with God and he's talking to God and he says, now I'm no more in the world. These are in the world. And I come to you. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. See what Jesus is praying? He's saying, God, here's these that you've given to me. You keep them. You keep them. This is Jesus' prayer. He's asking the Father to keep us. And then in verse 15, I pray not that you'd take them out of the world, but that you'd keep them from the evil. Jesus prayed this for us. Father, keep the ones that have come to me. Keep them, and keep them from the evil. God is able to do that. And we need to trust Him. We need to rest in Him for that. God keeps our hearts and minds through His peace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God will keep. Are we letting Him keep? Or are we taking it for ourselves and trying to manage it? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. God's keeping is because of His faithfulness. Who God is? God is faithful. He is that. That's who He is. That's His character. God is faithful. In other words, you can count on Him. If He's not proving faithful to us, then we're trusting in lies. Pay attention. The Lord is faithful, who will establish you and keep you from evil. Well, then why am I tempted to sin? Why am I struggling in areas of my life? Why do bad things happen to me? God's promise is that He will keep us from evil. Now, here's the deal. I don't understand all of this. But there are a couple things here that I do understand and I know. Number one, I know God is faithful. That's who He is. If there's anything coming to you saying that God cannot be trusted, God cannot be counted on, you better right away recognize that as a lie and call it as a lie and say, I know the truth. The truth is that God is faithful. Amen? God is faithful. That's the truth. Stand on the truth. The second one is that God has said He will establish us. That means He'll help us to stand. It's not like we're on the ice slipping around. It's not like we're in the mud getting sucked in. God will establish you. I don't feel strong. I feel like I'm on slippery ground. No. Take hold of the truth. God will establish you. That's the truth. And He will keep you from evil. So I can't help myself. No. All you have to do is go to the God that's keeping you and trust in Him. That's truth. Don't ask me to explain how it all works, but those are things that are truth and that we can rest in and take hold of for our lives. And if we live in those, I can guarantee you that you're going to experience blessings that you did not imagine. Because most of us start with the very first one and we say, boy, I don't know if God can be trusted. I'm afraid He's going to mess this one up. I don't know if I want to trust Him in all of this. And we definitely have trouble with the second one. I'm not much of a Christian. He's not establishing me very well. And the third one, wow, that's just off the mat. Keep you from evil. We need to rest in truth. And that's truth. That's the Apostle Paul declaring that God is our keeper. He's able to keep. 2 Timothy 1 verse 12. Paul says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know that God is my keeper. I know the one I've trusted. I know the one that I believed in. He's my keeper. He's faithful. And I'm persuaded. I am convinced that He is able to keep what I've committed unto Him until that day. Amen? He's able to keep. God is able. And we need to rest in that. God is able. Paul said, yeah, I'm suffering. I've been beaten. I've been shipwrecked. I've been stoned, left for dead. All these things have happened to me. So what? I know that God is able to keep what I've committed to Him. Whatever that is. And you and I can have that same confidence. whatever comes to us in life, we can have that confidence. Our souls are kept, not always our bodies. That's what Peter says to the suffering church. 1 Peter 4:19. Wherefore let them that suffer, that's talking about our body, according to the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls unto Him as unto a faithful Creator. He's the one who made us. He's the one who keeps us. So Paul says, look, don't worry about the body stuff. They can kill your body. They can't touch your soul. Commit the keeping of your soul to Him. He's the one that's able to keep. We need to rest in that. Jude, verses 24 and 25. These verses have become so, so meaningful to me. So beautiful. Now unto Him, as he closes the letter that He's writing, He says, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. Are you able to keep yourself from falling? No. None of us are. He's able. He's able to keep us from falling. And to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Let's just go backwards here just a minute. Are you able to present yourself faultless before God with exceeding joy? Anybody? No. Only as Jesus presents us faultless are we faultless before God. Okay, so if we're not able to present ourselves faultless, then how could we be able to keep ourselves from falling? See what I'm saying? Let's look at the whole thing here. He's able, Him. He's able. The Him is God. Jesus Christ. He's able to keep you from falling, and He's able to present you faultless before His throne with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Amen. God is able. And then in Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, because you've kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them. God's able to keep us from temptation, but He's speaking specifically here of all the things that are coming upon the world. You know what? What did Jesus say when His disciples were asking Him about the end times? And He said, all these things are going to happen. What did He say after that? He basically said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of those things. You don't have to fear those things that are going to come. Why? Because He is my keeper. Let's just shout a praise to God. God, You are my keeper. Hallelujah, okay? God, You are my keeper.